The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Welcome to the final reading for the month of November 2023 from Our State magazine, whose theme this month has been Giving Thanks. One of the things we can be thankful for is good wine. So here is an article under the heading Stories from the Earth, Drinking the Land. What explains the rich variety of flavors bursting out of North Carolina's wine country? It's all in the terroir, and that begins with the soil where the grapes are grown. Written by Jason Fry, there's a double-page photo here. It says, sprawling along steep slopes northeast of Hendersonville is Stone Ash Vineyards, where the unique soil and environmental conditions produce one-of-a-kind wines. And we see a whole bunch of grapevines all staked up here on quite a hilly territory. They really are. The second set of them is on the other side of a hill, which drops off steeply on the right-hand side. Beyond that is in the valley and some more trees. And beyond that, we have clouds hanging down around the earth. And in the distance, a mountain ridge against Carolina blue skies. Joseph Geller plucks a grape from a fat, nearly ripe cluster and pops it into his mouth. He worries it for a moment, freeing the fruit from its skin. Then he chews. The sugars are up, and the character is really starting to show, he says. And spits the seeds into his hand. Geller, the vineyard manager at Dynamis Estate Wines in Jonesville, is standing at the high point of Prometheus, a 3-acre block of Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc vines. The vines are taller than he is, green tendrils spiraling sunward, while the roots hide in the earth underfoot. They're almost totally brown, just a little green in them, he says, squinting at the BB-sized seed he holds between his thumb and forefinger. That's one of the ways we determine ripeness. Scuffing the toe of his boot through the grass, Geller overturns a stone in the bare strip of dirt near the vine's gnarled trunk. Red earth sticks to the rock, minuscule flakes of mica glint from the hole that Geller's boot made. If we're talking terroir, it all starts here, he says. Terroir, a French term denoting the sense of place where grapes grow, is best experienced by tasting the wine. Take a sip and pay attention to the mineral note, the way the sweetness rises and falls off, the play of acid across the palate. Those are all derived from terroir, as if these flavor components have been sucked into the fruit via some biological straw, which, by some measures, they have. Terroir is the culmination of the soil, the regional and local climate, and the terrain and topography of the vineyard. In Dynamis's tasting lodge, a former apple packing house hidden two rolling ridges away from Prometheus, winemaker Katie Kidd swirls her glass, eyes it in the afternoon light, and sips. The vineyard and the wine, they create a connection between us and the land, she says. Each harvest, every vintage is unique, but each bottle of wine tells a story about that land. To tell the story of Dynamis is to tell of a thriving apple orchard that rose from cut to bald timberland, but it's more than that. It's also a story about the Yadkin Valley, North Carolina's first American viticultural area, or AVA, how it's birthed a thriving industry that has spread far beyond the borders of that AVA, and how it's telling a larger story of North Carolina wine, bottle by bottle. As day breaks over the Yadkin Valley and sends the iconic Pilot Mountain's shadow west toward the Blue Ridge, mist rises in pockets, revealing hollows hidden in the folds of the foothills, the shapes of rivers and streams, and low ridgelines blanketed by earthbound clouds. In the places where rock lies exposed, tendrils of streams reach and curl through the forest like fiddleheads waiting to unfurl. All around are fertile fields and prized bottomland, where generations of farmers have raised tobacco, corn, and children. In 1999, brothers Charles and Ed Shelton, natives of Mount Airy, had a new idea for the Yadkin Valley. The terroir here, soil similar to that in northern Italy, climate akin to Bordeaux, France, and scenery rivaling Napa Valley, told them that this land was destined for grapes. So they planted their first vines with dreams of an AVA. 4 years later, the Yadkin Valley became one. The brothers' work, planting vines in 1999, opening a tasting room in 2000, developing the AVA in 2003, has paid off. Shelton Vineyards is one of the largest and most lauded wineries in North Carolina. But nowadays, there are more than 200 other wineries and wine producers, and 6 recognized AVAs across the state. Yadkin Valley, Swan Creek, Crest of the Blue Ridge, Appalachian High Country, Haw River, and Upper Hiwassee Highland. Each site has its own advantages and challenges, says Ethan Brown, Shelton Vineyards winemaker. It's up to the vineyard manager and the winemaker, to coax the best possible fruit from the site, then hopefully produce outstanding wines from that fruit. Standing at the highest point in the vineyard, Brown gestures toward the Blue Ridge Mountains, a dozen miles to the west. Last night, clouds gathered over the range, becoming flat-bottomed and still surging skyward with flashes of heat lightning. Before sunset, the first drops of rain fell to quench the thirsty earth and vines. Yet Brown stands on a dry knob, and you'd struggle to find the ingredients for even a mud pie among the vineyard's rows. By way of explanation, he follows a row of vines to its end and traces a rolling ridge until it tucks behind a thicket of trees. The slopes, the makeup of the soil, clay, and loam, and the stream hidden at the foot of the rise carry water away. He points to a ridge that climbs lazily to a cornfield a little higher than where he stands now. With terroir, we take all the climate conditions into consideration, he says. Frost, which can devastate a crop, won't settle on the high points like here, he stamps his foot, or there, and then gestures to the cornfield-topped knob. But it will settle in the low places, he explains, nodding toward the hidden stream and the low-lying dips in the fields nearby. We have totally different conditions from one end of the Yadkin Valley to the other. That's because the region is huge, 1.4 million acres. Naturally, the terroir varies from one end to the other, says David Bower, an instructor at Surrey Community College's Shelton Badgett North Carolina Center for Viticulture and Enology. That variance, caused by elevation, temperature and humidity, sun and wind, and other factors, causes grapes to ripen at different rates, develop different sugar levels, and grow deeper in color. Wineries and vineyards elsewhere in the state face other terroir-based challenges and see the influence of terroir in novel ways. Sanctuary Vineyards on the coast produces a wine with a distinct salinity, Bower says. That's terroir. It could be the salt air leaving a trace deposit on the fruit. Here in the Yadkin Valley, it's the frost that keeps winemakers up at night. On the coast, it's the sea breeze and wetter weather. Dynamis Estate Wines, with its 30 acres of grapevines and 8 acres of fruit trees, sprawls like a Rorschach ink blot across an undulating ridgeline in the brushy mountains. As Highland Roads ascends the hill toward the vineyards, pastureland and farm fields give way to thick forest where wildflowers nod their colorful heads, and deer and their spotted fawns browse for lunch in the shade. The road flows up and up, and finally crests revealing the sea of manicured lawn and hundreds of grapevines standing in orderly rows, soaking up the sun, leaves fluttering in the wind. Dynamis in the Swan Creek AVA was once timberland, its hilltops skinned nearly bald to feed trees to Elkin's wood veneer factories. From 1915 to 1975, it was Highland Orchards, with 175 acres of apples and peaches, and nearly 900 tons of fruit harvested each season. But after the 70s, the land sat dormant until 2013, when Harry Crosby acquired the tract and envisioned a vineyard. 2 years later, the first wine grapes went into the ground. The following year came 5 acres of apples, 2 acres of peaches, and 1 acre of pears, bringing the budding vineyard closer to its past as an orchard. Inside the vineyard's tasting lodge, winemakers Katie Kidd and Matheson Worrell sit at a table where 4 bottles and an equal number of empty glasses wait. Kidd's shoes and Worrell's shirt are splattered with a constellation of purple stains, evidence of their work in the winery this morning. As he pours a glass, Worrell reveals their strategy. "We're minimalist winemakers," he says, and Kidd nods in agreement. "The more we're hands-off, the more the terroir shows in the final product." The terroir indeed shows. It shows on the wall where a framed slice of the land, 2 feet by 3 feet, displays a cross-section of the soil, the clay and the schist, the specks of mica, the chips of quartz, and striped gneiss. And it shows in the glass, gleaming like an unpolished ruby. The mountain, Dynamis's bold flagship red, fills the glasses, offering both subtlety and forwardness. A violet nose evokes images of the vineyard, frosted with years of fallen blossoms, a prelude to the flavors of blackberry and plum that wash across the palate with the first sip. Balanced by the tannins and a delicate, almost mushroomy finish, the mountain tastes every bit like this place. 2.5 hours southwest of the Yadkin Valley sits Stone Ash Vineyards in the crest of the Blue Ridge AVA, surrounded by apple orchards and high peaks. Here, just northeast of Hendersonville, the average elevation is more than 1,000 feet higher than that of Swan Creek, and the slopes where the grapes grow are truly slopes. Stone Ash's steepest leans 35 degrees. At first glance, it seems inhospitable to grow wine grapes there, but the soil drains well. The slopes are situated to maximize sun exposure, and the mountain across the way isn't so high that it blocks the sun until close to evening. Our sight is critical, says Heath Little, a member of the family that runs Stone Ash, as he pours glasses of pale gold liquid. We produce place-driven, terroir-focused wines, and our particular terroir produces beautiful grapes and beautiful wines. Sip Stone Ash's Chardonnay alongside the Riesling, and you'll find a controlled streak of acidity at work in both. It brightens up the Riesling, lending it an edge that sets off the floral aroma and the subdued flavors of apple and pear. In the Chardonnay, it comes across as tart, like green apples, and zesty, like citrus, each keeping the inherent sweetness of the grape in check. Both wines finish with a lean minerality that leaves you wanting more. There's a distinct profile in each of our wines that's more than the difference between varietals, says Tina Little, who owns the vineyard along with her husband, Craig. Merlot is Merlot is Merlot, but due to terroir, no two vintages are identical. Heath explains why. We do everything with intent, he says. Every block was placed where it is for a reason. Every vine is pruned to bring out the best in that particular grape. He pauses. Take our rosé. Some winemakers will use a blend of allocated or leftover wine to produce their rosé, but we purpose-pick our Cabernet Franc because it's more reminiscent of that Provence-style rosé you find in the south of France. But this isn't the south of France, or Bordeaux, or Napa, or any other place than here. Gazing out at her vineyard, Tina says, North Carolina produces some outstanding wines, and it's because of terroir, because there's something special about this place. He stands looking to the orchard across the valley, then back at the vines. Let's go to the vineyard, he says excitedly. A few minutes later, he's at the top of a block of Chardonnay, eyeing the sky as if he could will the clouds to part and caressing a stray leaf that shades a cluster of grapes. His fingertips graze a dozen globes, giving a gentle squeeze here and there, testing for ripeness. Here we go, he says, pulling off a few from the bunch. He holds one up to the sky and studies it against the bright background of clouds flowing east. It glows, then disappears into his mouth. Beautiful, he says. You know, they say that grapes grow best in a place where they have a view. A second grape disappears. A third. The clouds thin, and hazy rays break through, their golden spotlights playing across the land. Maybe that's another component of terroir, the view. Grapes indeed grow best where there's a beautiful view. Just look around at Stone Ash, Dynamis, Shelton, or any other winery across our state, and it's undeniable. Where there's beauty in the land, there's beauty in the bottle. Just as grapes draw nourishment and character from the soil, every pop of the cork, every pour, every sip of North Carolina wine is also imbued with the beauty of the land, the place that holds our hearts fast and leaves every one of us wanting more. Dynamis Estate Wines is in Jonesville. Their website is dynamisestatewines.com. Shelton Vineyards is in Dobson. They are sheltonvineyards.com. And Stone Ash Vineyards is in Hendersonville. Stone Ash, and that's with an E at the end, vineyards.com. And now continuing with Stories from the Earth, Raise a Glass. Set apart by climate, soil, and geography, each of our grape-growing regions produces wines that are just as distinct. Written by Rebecca Waltz. In the Swan Creek region of the Yadkin Valley, wine enthusiasts can sip a dry, tannic Italian red, rich in minerality from the schist and mica in the soil. In the upper Hiwassee Highlands of far western North Carolina, they might get a French-American hybrid with a strong flavor profile, a healthy amount of acidity and sugar due to the climate. From the tall, steep mountains of the Appalachian High Country to the gentle hills of the Piedmont's Haw River Valley, our state's distinct American viticultural areas produce a wide variety of award-winning wines. An American viticultural area is a federally recognized region that has distinguishing geographical or climatic features that affect the way the grapes are grown, and therefore the flavor of the wine produced there. There are 6 established AVAs in North Carolina, with a 7th awaiting approval. The first to be approved, celebrating its 20th anniversary this year, was the Yadkin Valley. Charlie and Ed Shelton, founders of Shelton Vineyards, were instrumental in getting the region approved as an AVA. They felt like this would be a great way to enhance North Carolina wine industry as a whole, says Mandy Hauser, who now owns the vineyard along with her brother, Chip Shelton, and mother, Sandy Shelton. When an AVA develops a positive reputation, it benefits all the wineries in the region, which is one of the reasons why North Carolina wineries are more collaborative than competitive. That's what the beauty of our industry is. We all work together, Hauser says. We like to send customers to each other's wineries so that people can get the full depth and breadth of the North Carolina wine industry. There's a picture here of the vineyards, and it says, founded in 1999, Shelton Vineyards in Dobson was instrumental in forming the state's first AVA, the Yadkin Valley. Overleaf. Yadkin Valley, established 2003, Surrey, Wilkes, Yadkin, Stokes, Forsyth, Davidson, and Davie counties. By the early 20th century, the rich soils of Yadkin Valley were producing an abundance of tobacco. As the century drew to a close, however, the prevalence of the crop diminished, and a shift toward viticulture, the cultivation of grapes, began. Jack Crustalis is believed to have planted the state's first vinifera grapes, the varietals commonly grown in Europe, at West Bend Vineyards in 1972, and other vineyards soon followed. The soil, depleted of nutrients after decades of tobacco farming, was ripe for grapes. The soil's poor fertility is actually good for vineyards, according to Sarah Bowman, viticulture instructor at Surrey Community College. Bowman explains that low soil fertility helps keep wines in balance, allowing them to produce enough leaves to perform photosynthesis, but not so many that the leaves overly shade the fruit, which causes humidity that makes the plants more susceptible to disease. She describes the soil drainage, which is important because the grapes do best under a bit of drought stress. What's more, the climate in the Yadkin Valley is warm and the growing season is fairly long. This allows vineyards to grow varietals that take longer to ripen, like Cabernet Franc, Merlot, and Cabernet Sauvignon. The elevated sites also allow cold air to drain down off of the vineyards, protecting the vines from late spring or early fall frosts. Taste it. Jones Vondrail Vineyards and Winery in Thurmond focuses on French wines like Viognier. This white varietal from the Rhone Valley is known for being a fussy grape, says Diana Jones, who owns the vineyard with family members Chuck Jones and Ronnie and Raymond Vondrail. Even so, the wine, which has flavors of honeysuckle, peach, and pear, has won numerous awards, including Best in Show at the 2021 North Carolina Fine Wines Competition. They are located in Old Railroad Grand Grade in Thurmond. Jones Vondrail, that's DREHLE.com. Underneath it says, did you know? Surrey Community College offers programs in the science of winemaking. The college has its own vineyard and winery, providing students with hands-on training through the Shelton Badgett North Carolina Center for Viticulture and Enology. There's an interesting photo here. The caption says, Jones Von Drehl in Wilk County is an estate winery, meaning they only use grapes grown on their own 30-acre vineyard. Now, they have a vehicle here. I guess it's drawn by a tractor, but you can't tell exactly what the vehicle is because it's shot from the back. And behind it, it's carrying a big white, I don't know what you'd call it. I'm going to use the word canister, but it's divided into three sections. I think it's for collecting the grapes. There's a couple of people sitting on the sides, and this passing right between two rows of grapevines, which are trimmed very neatly so that the people are just barely brushing against them. Now, Overleaf, Swan Creek, established in 2008, comprising of Wilkes, Yadkin, and Iredell counties. Although much of Swan Creek AVA overlaps with a portion of the pre-existing Yadkin Valley AVA, the smaller Swan Creek area has distinct conditions that justify its designation. In contrast to the varied soil types of the larger Yadkin Valley viticultural area, Swan Creek has homogeneous soil characteristics resulting from the weathering process of the brushy mountains. Predominantly mica and schist, the soil imparts a minerality and complexity to wine made from grapes grown here. You pick the soil up, and it's got those shiny bits in it that kind of look like crystals, says J. Raffaldini, owner of Raffaldini Vineyards. And then you hold it in your hand, and it kind of breaks apart. It's so soft and pliable. That, to a vineyard, is gold. Taste it. Raffaldini recognized that the schist in the Swan Creek area made the soil similar to that of Tuscany, so he planted his Wilkes County vineyards with Italian varietals. He specializes in dry tannic reds like the oak-fermented Grand Reserva, one of the winery's flagship blends that uses Sangrentino grapes, a varietal that Raffaldini describes as one of the rarest grapes in the world. Raffaldini Vineyards is at Grace Road in Rhonda, North Carolina, raffaldini.com. We don't have time to read the rest of the article here, but there's a section about Duplin Winery under the title Land of Muscadines, so those would be very sweet as opposed to the ones from the Yadkin Valley area. And then there's Haw River Valley, Upper Hiwassee Highlands, Appalachian High Country, Crest of the Blue Ridge. Well, that's about all of the time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call the studios 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.